Lecture 12, Through a Glass Darkly, The Man and the Symbol.
In our previous lectures, we've chronicled Jefferson's remarkable career, a career full of rich accomplishments and important contradictions. And it's not easy to make sense out of that career and that legacy, but even harder is understanding Jefferson the man. Peering into Jefferson's soul is a peculiarly dangerous undertaking. We know that Jefferson hid behind a southern mask of polite sociability, and he projected a public facade of almost disembodied rationality. But we also know that there is more to Jefferson than the mask, as witnessed by his affairs with Maria Causeway, Sally Hemings, and a rather infamous pass he made at Elizabeth Walker. I haven't mentioned this one previously. I saved it for this lecture. In fact, it was first exposed after Jefferson was in office by a press agent he'd hired to attack the Federalist opposition, who tried to blackmail him once he achieved office to get himself appointed as postmaster of Richmond. His name was James Callender. And James Callender threatened that he would expose to the world both the Hemings affair and this pass at Walker. And Jefferson, much to his credit, publicly acknowledged the pass he'd made at Mrs. Walker and stated that she had acted in completely honorable fashion. I want to look a little bit about this dalliance, because Elizabeth Walker was, in fact, the wife of one of his closest friends, John Walker. And in 1768, while John Walker was away on provincial business, he asked Jefferson to look after his bride and young infant, and in fact planned to make Jefferson the executor of his estate. Now, we actually have an interesting document from Jack Walker himself, which he wrote some years later, explaining what he understood to be the basis of the relationship. "During my absence, Mr. Jefferson's conduct to Mrs. Walker was improper so much as to have laid the foundation of her constant objection to my leaving Mr. Jefferson, my executor, telling me that she wondered why I could place such confidence in him. At Shadwell, his own house, in 1769 or 1770, on a visit common to us, being neighbors, and as I felt true friends, he renewed his caresses, placed in Mrs. Walker's gown sleeve cuff a paper tending to convince her of the innocence of promiscuous love. After this, we went on a visit to Colonel Coles, a mutual acquaintance and distant neighbor. Mr. Jefferson was there. On the ladies retiring to bed, he pretended to be sick, complained of a headache, and left the gentlemen among whom I was. Instead of going to his bed, as his sickness authorized a belief in, he stole into my room where my wife was in dressing or in bed. He was repulsed with indignation and menaces of alarm and ran off." Walker claims that, in fact, Jefferson continued to pursue Elizabeth Walker even after he was married, ending the pursuit only in 1779. But this is interesting, because at the one hand we can look at Jefferson here as a cad. At the other hand, we have to remember something. Even after this became public, and even after Walker published this letter, he wanted nothing so much as a rapprochement with Jefferson. He wanted nothing so much as to resume their friendship. And I think that's an interesting statement about Jefferson's character. There's an element of duplicity, but there's also a sincere graciousness. Even those whom he has in some cases hurt still love him and care for him. And that raises our fundamental problem. What we see in Jefferson's character is always speculative, and it often reflects our own predilections and our own assumptions. And I want to give you a sort of exemplary case of this, something that many people don't know about Jefferson. Apparently, Jefferson always sang. When he wasn't speaking or doing something public, he would sing to himself or hum a tune. As his manservant Isaac recalled, "Hardly saw him anywhere, but he was a-singing." One of his overseers recalled, "When he was not talking, he was nearly always humming some tune or singing in a low tone to himself." And this raises an interesting question. What kind of a singing was it? Was he singing heroic tunes? Was he humming to himself odes of joy and victory? Or was it a nervous whistle? Was he, as it were, whistling past the graveyard? Well, we see the same duality of vision when we look at Jefferson as a family man. On the one hand, he was a loving father and patriarch. He collected his children and grandchildren around him in his retirement and always sought a neighborhood of a few close friends.